Good morning, church. Why don't you stand with us as we go to the Lord in worship?
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. And see what our Savior has done. And see how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
You conquer the grave, you free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. Savior, your name lifted high, oh God, you have done great things.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable.
Our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God, you have done great things. You have done great things. God, you do great things.
Glad we serve a God who does great things this morning. Amen. Not only has He done great things, He's continuing to do great things, and He will always do great things. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you. Thank you for being here this morning. Maybe you're online watching us, but we serve a God that not only does great things when we're here at church, but He does great things no matter where we are. So why don't we join together here collectively here this morning? Maybe you're halfway around the world, but let's just ask God to be in amongst us this morning and just to do great things. God, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for Your presence. God, Lord, we thank You that You are available no matter where we are. God, we thank You for the opportunity to worship You and to serve You. God, we thank You. We're believing for great things. Lord, we just ask You to be amongst us this morning. And God, just change us, improve us, make us more like You. And in Jesus' name we pray, Amen. You may be seated. We got a skit for you here, or a video.
I think fasting's awesome. I mean, where else can you combine spirituality and dieting all in the same way? I mean, I think it gets a bad rap, pound for pound, it does. You know, people think it's for monks or supermodels and stuff like that. But I'm here to tell you, it's for everybody. Last summer, I had a 20-year reunion / barbecue / swim party to go to, and I'd done but had to drop about 85 pounds. So thanks to fasting, what has two thumbs and look good in a swimsuit? This guy. Thank you, Jesus.
Fasting? Yeah. I mean, I think it's great to skip a meal or two so you can hear God's voice better, you know, stay plugged into him. Yeah.
You know, some people fast from phones and music and gadgets.
What? That's not a sacrifice. That's not even biblical. I mean, that's crazy talk, you know? I mean, God gave us this stuff so we could stay plugged into him, maximize our lives.
It also keeps us busy enough to never be still or quiet.
Are you even a Christian?
I dare you to fast from your phone for 1 minute.
Fine. Minute. You got it. No biggie. I don't care. I probably should take that.
I fast. Okay, that's a total lie. I don't even fast at all. Okay, I want to. Another lie. Don't even think about it. Deal is, I'm hypoglycemic and diabetic, and that's not even close to the truth at all, okay? Hey, even the Bible says, he who hopes dies fasting, right? Right? Okay, Benjamin Franklin said that right before he died. Bottom line, fasting makes me hungry.
Are we almost done? Hello! I'm Brett Johansson, and I believe that fasting is one of the greatest spiritual disciplines one can achieve in their faith. When my family or friends invite me to go to lunch, I gently remind them and passive-aggressively admonish them by reminding them, "Did you not get my fasting notification email? Oh, that I had the luxury to eat lunch like you do." Every year around Easter, I go through a 40-day fast to heighten my sensation of the Easter holiday. This year, however, I've decided to tack on 10 extra days. So by the time we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, I will have been fasting for 50 whole days. If I survive.
In my fast, I have a very rigid schedule. And if you do not have a rigid schedule, then God does not approve. Some people like to cheat, and they drink flavored waters and juices within the fast. You must be drinking unfiltered well water. And if you do not drink unfiltered well water, God does not approve. In the afternoon, I put a cone of silence around me. I do not talk to anyone. Yes, that does annoy people. Yes, it does anger my coworkers. I am persecuted within my fast. And if you are not persecuted within the fast, God does not approve. When I get home, I go straight to my prayer closet. I do not talk to my wife. I do not play with the kids. I let them fend for themselves. And if the kids do not fend for themselves and the wife does not get talked to, God does not approve.
You know what? I'm going to ask nice one more time, and then I am not in control of what happens, okay? So give me the phone. Okay, fine. I need the phone. I need to call. 911. Hello, hello. There we are. I'm having a little trouble with the mic this morning. We want to welcome you. We already said we're glad to see you here, but if we do have any guests this morning, we are not going to be watching videos the whole time, I promise. We are actually going to be blessed to have Pastor Phil preaching here in a moment, but we do want to say thank you for coming, and you can find a card there in the seat. There's a little pocket in the back of the chairs there. You can fill that out, drop it in the offering here in a moment, or with the lovely sound crew back there, both Kevin and my beautiful wife, you can drop it off back there on the way out this morning. But let's give our guests a hand this morning. Amen. It's always great to see some new faces. As you might have gathered, we are going to be doing a corporate fast for 21 days. That does not mean that you have to fast the entire 21 days, but we do want to encourage you, not necessarily like these guys, but find something that you can give up and kind of empty yourselves out and allow God to fill that space and to just really do something. How many of you know we need God to move in our nation? Amen? Amen. We need him to bring some healing in many ways. And we want to do that corporately. We want to empty ourselves out and just really seek God. And so that'll be starting next Saturday and go for August 1st through the 21st. And I want to encourage you to participate in that in some way. We also want to remind you, Wednesday night services, we are still having services here. We've got opportunities for young people, for boys and girls, and then we also have the adults here. Service starts at 7, goes to about 8:15. And if you want an extra opportunity to pray while you're fasting, starting at 6:30, there's prayer meeting here in the sanctuary before service starts. Also, just want to remind you, here in a couple months, we will be doing our missions convention, our fall missions convention. We have a few missionaries lined out and you have an opportunity to renew your faith pledges and just support those around the world. And other than that, I want to encourage you to read your bulletin. And I'm going to ask our ushers to come this morning, and we're going to give up our morning tithes and offering. Amen. I heard my wife and I, we were gone, and I know Pastor Phil was gone for a mission trip and a couple Sundays there. And I heard one of my good friends, Lance, over here had opportunity to do announcements, and he declined. But I'm going to give him the opportunity to pray over the offering this morning. Amen. And when I ask for worship team to come back as the bag passes, why don't you stand and continue worship? Amen.
Now, when I heard we were going to do the 21-day of fasting for faith, family, and freedom, this song just been in my head over and over and over again. So we're going to do an older one. So hope you enjoy it. Feel free to do the motions.
Stole from me.
Oh, I
went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. 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 Satan is under my feet.
Oh, I went to the enemy's camp
and I took back what he stole from me.
Oh, I
back what he stole from me.
Yes, I
took back what he stole from me.
Oh, I
went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. 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 Satan is under my feet.
Can you believe what the Lord has done in me?
Can you believe what the Lord has done in me?
Well, he saved me, cleansed me, and turned my life around.
He set my feet upon the solid ground. Can you believe what the Lord has done in me?
Can you believe what the Lord has done?
Can you believe what the Lord has done in me?
You see, he saved me,
cleansed me, turned my life around. Set my feet upon the solid ground. Can you believe what the Lord has done in me?
Oh, and look
what the Lord has done.
Look
each day is just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, but look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. But He healed my body, He touched my mind, He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise His name. Each day is just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Oh, and come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
So are we ready to go to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from us? That's what that 21 days of fasting is going to do. And you know, sometimes you get discouraged when you look at everything that's going on in the world and you think, how are we going to get that back? I had that thought. How are we going to do that, God? And He reminded me of Gideon in the Bible. And Gideon was going to go and fight the Midianites. And he had 22,000 men that was going to go and fight with him. And God told him, He said, if I take all 22, then I'm not going to get the glory. So anybody that's afraid, I want you to tell them to go home. So he's down to 10,000. And God said, no, that's too many. I want to, that's still, I wouldn't get the glory. So he took it down and ended up with 300 men that he took. And they didn't have to lift a finger to fight that battle, because God went before them and He caused the Midianites to fight one another. That's what we're going to be doing on this 21 day of fasting, is we're going to be praying and God's going to send His army and He's going to take care of it. He's going to open eyes, He's going to unplug ears, and He's going to open hearts. And we are going to see a move like never before in this country. We have to have faith and believe it, step out. We're going to see a victory.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't breathe in. 'Cause the God I serve knows all.
Battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Oh, I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you.
In this country. Lord, I believe that we're going to see a change in the atmosphere in the United States, that there's going to be peace, the peace that only you can deliver, that you can provide, and you're going to spread it across this nation. And Lord, we just depend on you and we trust in you for taking care of this nation. And no matter what happens over the next few weeks and months, we're going to praise you. Because we know that there is nothing that you cannot do, and that you will take what the enemy has meant for evil, and you're going to turn it around, and you're going to be glorified in what happens, Lord, and the things and the outcome over the next few weeks and the months, Lord. We just believe that with all of our hearts. We stand here in faith on your word, knowing that this country was built on your godly principles, and that we are going to turn back. This nation will turn back and be a nation whose heart is after you. And we just praise you and we glorify you, Lord. And we just want to thank you in advance for everything that you're currently doing and everything that you are doing and everything that you have done for this nation. Draw us back to you, Father. Lord, start that fire of revival in our hearts and help us to just live for you like never before and to put you first in our life and in everything that we do. We just praise you and glorify you, Father, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me. In the waiting, the same God who's never late, he's working all things out. He's working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
Stand against.
Should be our prayer to the Lord. Every time He talks to us, every time we talk to Him, our prayer should be, yes, I will. Not I can't, not I won't, not it's not possible, but yes, I will. As the scripture says, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? Amen? This morning, I'm going to ask you to go with me in prayer for some needs. Kathleen Quinn called and said that she needed a physical touch and wanted us to pray for her. April McDonald just left the ER a little while ago. She's struggling with shingles and needs the Lord to touch her. She said they're really painful. I want you to be praying. Many of you are Facebook friends with me, and I ask that you continue to pray for my nephew, Bradley. He's had a really long last week here. He's got some infection in his body somewhere, and they're still trying to figure that out. In the meantime, they found some fluid on his lungs and attempted to drain that fluid off of his lungs and accidentally pierced his lung. And so he's got a tube right now filling his lung with air while that's healing. And so he just needs a physical touch from the Lord. He had a great day yesterday and is making strides, but I just ask that you continue to pray for Bradley. The Lord would touch him. I want to pray for the Mundens, Ansel and Ruth Munden, as they continue to try to stay well and healthy. They wanted to be here today, but were unable to. I want to pray for Pastor. He's traveling back today from Houston. Went down to visit his kids and his grandchildren, and he told me they had a great birthday party yesterday and would be headed back sometime today. And he's worshiping down there with his daughter and son-in-law today, and then we'll be headed back. And so we want to pray for safe travels for him. If you have a need this morning, would you just simply lift your hand and say, I have a need. I have a need. I need the Lord to minister to that need. Amen. Amen. The Lord knows your need. He knows exactly what that hand represents. And whether it's spoken or unspoken, it's already upon our heart. And how many of you know that God knows the desires of our heart? And He knows what we are walking through. Matter of fact, He knew what you were going through before you ever began to go through it. And He's prepared a way for you. And so would you bow your heads this morning as we just go to the Lord in prayer? Lord, we lift up our hands physically. We lift up our hearts symbolically. And we lift up just our spirit unto you, and we say, God, yes, I will. I will surrender today to you all that's been troubling me. I will surrender to you, Lord, those who are sick that I love. Lord, that by your stripes they be made well. Lord, I'll surrender to you the things in my life I can't control. I surrender you my anxiety, my fear, and whatever else may be creeping in during these times of uncertainty. Lord, we pray right now for Kathleen Quinn. We pray for April McDonald. We pray for Bradley Shoemate. We pray for the Mundens today. We pray for all those that lift their hands that need a physical touch. Lord, we just ask right now that you, Lord, would intervene in those situations. Lord, that you would create a way where maybe the doctors say there's no way. Lord, that you would provide healing. And we ask these things, Lord, in your name. Lord, we pray right now for Ansel and Ruth, and we pray you continue to touch them. Lord, even as they're unable to be here, that they would be able to be able to join us in worship soon. We pray for Pastor today for safe travel coming back from Houston. But most of all, Lord, we pray today that your presence would be in this place. We thank you, Lord, that your presence has already entered. May it stay, Lord, in and amongst us, Lord, as we hear from your word, as we're strengthened, Lord, by all you have to say to us today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Air high five to someone. Give everybody an air high five as you sit down. Thank you, worship team. Appreciate all that you do to lead us into the throne room of God. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask Elliot, will you just bring that right up here for me? Thank you. Elliot's being my assistant today. He likes for me to call him my lovely assistant, so he's my lovely assistant. Yes. Awesome, awesome. We're so glad you came here today. If you're here visiting with us, thank you so much for coming to be a part of what we're doing here today. And I pray the Lord would just speak to you and encourage you through the message that he gave me this week. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you that already fasted and prayed this past week or the week before when we were in Denver. We felt your prayers. There were some times when we desperately needed those prayers. Had some team members who, felt a little dehydrated, weren't feeling good, and yet they bounced right back. We had some times when work got a little tougher, the boxes got a little heavier, and things that we were doing. And you know, it was a journey. How many have ever been on a journey before? Come on. Man, how many of you, when you're going through something difficult, ever do the thing where you say to yourself, you find the thing that was most difficult, and you go, well, at least it's not that. You know what I mean? So, like, as I'm driving to Denver, there was 18 of us going, and I got a van full of teenagers. I noticed many of you didn't volunteer to go. Appreciate your servants' hearts. As I'm driving these teenagers across up through Kansas and across over to Colorado, I there was a couple of times as I got a little tired, having been at camp the week before for an entire week, and I thought to myself this: at least we're not driving to L.A. You know, we drove to L.A. a few years ago, and so I thought to myself, at least we are not driving to L.A. Actually, it was a wonderful trip to Denver, and we didn't have any problems. I credit that just as much to your prayers as anything else, and so we appreciate that. But this morning, I want to preach a message. I want to share with you a message that I've entitled "The Lessons of Life." How many of you know that we're all on a spiritual journey? Come on. If you're not on a spiritual journey, then you're missing out, because God desires for each of us to be on a spiritual journey. Each one of us should be on a journey, and the spiritual journey really is all about learning. It's all about the lessons of life and the lessons of the journey. And scripture makes it abundantly clear that the spiritual journey that God has for each of us is not a sprint, but instead it's a marathon. Sometimes we would like for it to be a sprint. I'll tell you what, we were going up I-35 when we got to Kansas, and at Salina, we took a left, and we were headed towards Denver. And how many of you do better when you're traveling if on the directions, every about 20 or 30 miles, it gives you an instruction? For me, that's better. Like, I don't even care if we stay on the same road. I just want, like, every about 30 miles for it to say, keep going straight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just want them to communicate with me. What I don't like is when you turn at Salina and the GPS says this: keep going straight for 432 miles. There's no hope in that. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of, like, that's a lot of miles. That's a lot of miles. But we are reminded, as I think about that, I'm reminded by the idea that the spiritual journey isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. And we take it one step at a time. Or in the case of some of our mission trip people, one bathroom stop at a time. I may deviate here for a minute. I could not get these people to understand that if you don't want to stop at the bathroom every 90 minutes, then you shouldn't carry out two big gulps every time we go to the bathroom. But that didn't, they still did it. So would y'all pray for me? I have a little bitterness in my heart about that. I'm like, what, they didn't have a backpack size or what? Okay, anyway, so the spiritual journey, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Matter of fact, we're encouraged in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Here's what the scripture says: but grow, everybody say grow, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Through the ups and downs of life, God's word doesn't call for perfection. How many of you are glad about that? Come on now, because there's not one of us in this room that are perfect. If God's call for our journey was perfection, we'd all be in trouble. That's not what he asked of us. God doesn't call for perfection. He calls for growth. God's asking of us that as we walk through life, Doris, as we walk through each day of life, that we would grow in Him. God wants us to be better than we were yesterday. As a matter of fact, God's word puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Sometimes when I go out with the youth, we'll go out to eat, I get a little amused because sometimes some of our young people order kids' meals. You know, they say, oh, yeah, I'll take the kids' meal. I'm like, you're a grown man, all right? You are a big kid. Why are you getting, you know, or one of the girls would be like, hey, I think I'll just have a kids' meal. And I'm just amused by it because when they get, you know, because they get their meal and they come and they sit down and they get that little, you know, miniature cup, you know, so they eat and they take two drinks and they have to go get a refill. And I'm like, I'm literally counting how many refills they got to go get simply because they didn't want to order a full meal. They just wanted to order this, you know what I mean? And then I'm always like, did you get a toy? You know, did you get a toy? How many of you order a kids' meal? Anybody? Come on. Yep, I'm judging you. All of you. I'm judging all of you. All right. I'm just amused by the fact that at some point, is it at 13? Is it at 14? Is it at 17 or 18? Is it at 70, Dad? 72? When do you stop ordering the kids' meal and get the full meal? Now, some of you go, I just don't want to eat that much. I know. But what I'm saying is that if we're not careful in our spiritual journey, we'll have walked years with the Lord and still find ourselves ordering off the kids' menu. If we're not careful, we'll have chalked up on the proverbial tree the line 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. We'll say, I've been walking with the Lord for years and yet still consuming the same things we did the very first year we were with the Lord. If we don't learn, this is what I'm challenging you with today, the lessons of life. If we don't learn, we can't grow. And if we don't grow, God can't move us forward in what He has for us. Don't you want to move forward in what God has for you? Amen? Amen. Our world is experiencing a tremendous amount of loss currently. We see on the news a loss of health, people sick and the cases being reported and all of that. We see a loss of life as they're reporting deaths and things of that nature. We're seeing a loss of resources as people are losing jobs and different economies are doing different things and toilet paper's running out again. That's what they told me. I don't know. What is going on, people? Loss of health, loss of life, loss of resources. So much loss happening in our world. Would you agree today? There's so much loss. And yet, here's what I would challenge you with. The ultimate loss in life doesn't come in the form of injury. It doesn't come in the form of debt. It doesn't come in death. Or it doesn't come in failure. The ultimate loss comes in the absence of learning from all of those things. Let me say that again. The ultimate loss in life doesn't come from injury or failure or debt or death. The ultimate loss comes in the absence of learning from those things. God intended for life to teach us lessons, and life with God is full of lessons that can create in us and through us some dynamic purpose. This past week, like I said, 18 youth and adults from our church family went to Denver to minister and to serve, but we also took the challenge to learn and to grow. Matter of fact, when we first got there, one of the very first things they did was they said, today, during orientation, they said, tomorrow we will start working, but today we want you to go back and go to your hotel. We want you to write down what you want from this week. It's just for you personally. You don't have to, we're not sharing it right now. And although they did ask if a few would share the next day, but they said, what do you want this week? Because they said, if all you do is just do work, but you don't learn anything, you don't grow, then you've really lost the main value of the week. And so I'm like, man, I'm the leader. I got to take the challenge. And so I was like, Lord, what do you want me to learn this week? What am I growing in? And I shared at the end of the week what I felt like the Lord wanted from me. And it was just simply this, is that I am not a stop and smell the roses kind of guy. I told him, I said, sometimes I'm so busy carrying the train that I forgot to actually meet anybody on the train. That I get busy doing stuff. And so this week, this past week, I tried to let our team members do a lot more of some of the work, although I was there and I was doing it too. And I tried to intentionally stop and have intentional conversations with people. I had some really great conversations with people. But that's a learning thing for me. I appreciate you praying for us. And I know that many of you followed along on Facebook. Some of y'all commented on our pictures. And you can go and you can see all the pictures from our trip if you haven't on Facebook. And I encourage you to do so. But this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you a video really quick that the Denver Dream Center created that gives you just a glimpse of what God is doing in Denver and the heart of the ministry there. And this is one ministry. It's called Adopt a Block.
August of 2013, me and my kids were actually, we were going kind of couch to couch, floor to floor. At the house that we were staying at, it was late one night, and I had actually witnessed some of the guys that stayed in the house doing drugs in the bathroom. Probably like, I want to say like 4 or 5 feet away from where my kids were laying their head. Know what to do. My reaction was I kind of just packed up what we had and took my kids outside to a picnic table and scrolled through my phone probably for like 10 minutes, and Pastor B had came up. I called him, told him the situation. It had to have been less than an hour. He had someone that works with the Dream Center come and pick me and my kids up. Put us in a motel, and they helped me with groceries, hygiene stuff, helped me get on my feet. Pastor B actually got me a job at the 7-Eleven on the 16th Street Mall. From there, it's just been like nothing but progress for me and my kids. I would not have made it to where I'm at now if it wasn't for them. Like, I don't know what I would do without them.
About 4 years ago, there were some junior high and high school boys out here playing, so I stopped, spent about an hour playing basketball, and then found out the next day that one of those young men that was out shooting hoops with me actually was tragically shot and killed. And one of those moments that just gripped my heart, that we need to do something, that we need to focus on the neighborhoods and build those long-term sustainable relationships. One of our projects that we focus on, we call Adopt a Block. And we've been able to partner with Denver Housing Authority to focus on the projects where there's just a lot of high-risk needs. We're here at Westridge, which is in the heart of Denver. Literally around us, there's 200 units. And in those 200 units, 179 are single-parent homes. We come out on Saturdays. We meet at 10 o'clock in the morning. We feed kids. We play games. We do activities. And it's not complicated. We tell people, if you can come and smile, then you can come and serve. In Denver, there's actually 21 DHA sites. There's 26,000 people that are in Section 8 in low-income housing. And so our goal is to mobilize volunteers to come in, to be part of that support system, to love on kids, give them an opportunity to succeed, to know that someone genuinely cares.
Westridge, that which you just saw there, was the housing project that we predominantly did most of our ministry in. And we handed out a lot of food. We prayed with different people at their doorways. We played with kids and things of that nature. But I want to repeat some of the things he said. 26,000 people live in the Denver Housing Authority. Westwood has 200 units. Did you hear how many he said was single parent? 179 of them. 179. Drugs are prevalent, gangs are normal, and death is killing. And death and killing is happening weekly, if not daily. At another housing project that we were a part of, not as prevalent as this one, but some of us did go to, they were actually sending out some counselors because some of the kids had actually seen someone shot and killed the week before that, right there in the project in front of them. And so I began to ask myself, in the midst of all this loss, what can we learn? We can't let this loss go to waste. That was kind of my heart as we went to Denver. And so I want to challenge you this morning with three lessons from life in Denver. Three lessons of life from Denver. Lesson number one is this. God is no respecter of persons. How many of you believe that? God is no respecter of persons. Pastor Brian, they call him Pastor B. You saw him on the video. He and I went to Bible college together. He was a senior when I was a freshman. And so we got to catch up a little bit and talk for a few minutes. Great to see him and all that's going on through the ministry there. But I want to give you a little background. Pastor, I'm going to call him Pastor B so you know who he is. Pastor B moved to Denver in 2006 with a vision. The Dream Center didn't officially open until 2014. So for 8 years, it took 8 years to actually see the vision of an official Dream Center. And so if you look at the incorporation and all that, the Denver Dream Center's history goes back to 2006, but its a name and recognition is only to 2014. He actually left the LA Dream Center, which our team has been to, with a call from the Lord, but no physical resources whatsoever. He just packed up his family and said, I know I'm supposed to go to Denver and make a difference. He didn't know anyone. He didn't have exactly a plan other than he knew the Lord wanted him to go. And so the story goes that he would walk around the downtown area and just strike up a conversation with anyone who would talk with him. He'd just walk around. And here's what he would ask. He'd ask them their story. He'd want to know, hey, what's your story? Tell me who you are. Tell me where you're from. Tell me your story. The second thing was he wanted to discover their needs. Do you have a need that we could meet? Is there something I could do to help you? And then he just wanted to pray with them. So he'd ask their story. He'd find out their need. And then he would pray with them. Who do you think was most willing to talk to him? Well, you're probably not surprised that it was the homeless community. He said that a lot of times people didn't give him the time of day and weren't interested in talking to him, but the homeless community had a lot of time on their hands, and they didn't have a lot of people really wanting to help them a whole lot. And so he said he found himself a lot of times sitting down with a homeless man or a homeless woman, discussing their story, discussing their needs, and praying with them. After a while, this was before 2014, before the actual official Dream Center, he started doing some online services. And when I say services, it's not like what we're doing here, but more just some online devotions where he would get a camera and an audio and do some online stuff where he would teach lessons. But there was a problem. He had no building, and he had no help. And so here's what they told me he did. He would go downtown where he had been building these relationships, and he'd wake up all of his homeless friends, and he would pay them with donuts and food and hire them as his audio-video crew. They say, oh, Pastor B, he said they'd say, Pastor B, I'm sleeping. He said, I need you to run a camera. He goes, I don't know how to run a camera. It don't matter. I got donuts. Okay, I'm coming, Pastor B. I'm coming. He said, hey, I need you to hold this mic. And you do this. I don't want it. I got some food. I'll feed you lunch. Okay, I'm coming. He said they'd just go down. He'd pick out some of his homeless friends they built a relationship with, pay them some donuts, pay them some food, and make him his audio video crew. See, here's the deal. Pastor B wasn't looking for technical ability or experience. Listen to me very carefully. This is powerful. He was just looking for willingness. We sang the song today. It was perfect. Michelle was perfect. Yes, I will. That's what God wants from us. What God's looking for isn't for you to be the smartest person in the room, isn't for you to be the most experienced person in the room, isn't for you to be the most technically knowledgeable about something. All he really wants is for you to say to him, yes, I will. He's just looking for willingness. Willingness. And he's no respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 says this in the NIV. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. How many of you have told your parents that you were their favorite? Come on. How many of you have ever possibly put favorite child in your parents' phone? Okay. Just me. Okay. They keep changing it. I don't know what the deal is. Actually, the King James Version says it this way. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is what? No respecter of persons. The King James Version actually says it that way. That God is no respecter of persons. It means that God has a spiritual journey for each of us. And if we can learn anything from the fact that Pastor B, we used some homeless guys and ladies to be his audio video crew, is that he's just looking for willingness, and so is Jesus. What he wants us to do is just say, yes, I will. As I listened to them telling about homeless men and women holding cameras and mics, I was challenged by the simplicity of God's request. Just be willing to do what I ask you to do. That's really what God's saying to us. That's really the lesson today, is just be willing to do what God is asking you to do. May we learn to just say yes when God asks us to be a part of spreading the gospel. God's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't need you to be fancy. He doesn't need you to be cool. Even though, how cool am I looking in my new Jordans? Thank you very much. Thank you. I told my boys, I'm not sure I can pull those off, but I'll try. God's not asking for that. What God's asking for is a willing heart that says, I will do it because you've asked me to. Can we commit to that? Can we commit to saying, you know why I'm challenged by the idea of willingness? It's because there was a moment in time when Jesus said he was willing to die on a cross for us. He said, if it be your will, remember, he's at the right, he said, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But if it's your will, I will die on the cross. That's what Jesus said to the Father. If Jesus is willing to answer to the Father, so should we be. Lesson number two is this. Lesson number two is to remember the forgotten. Remember the forgotten. We saw the pictures of Westridge, and you saw the complex. It just goes on and on and on again. And in 2006, Pastor B also started driving around the different Denver Housing Authority projects. You saw that. He was assuming the needs were greatest there. And this, as the story says, he stopped to play basketball one day with a group of kids. He was just driving by, saw them, and Pastor B was captain of the basketball team at our Bible college. He's very good at basketball. Even to this day, is very good. They laugh because he surprises guys all the time when he plays basketball. And so he thought, that's something I could do. He carries a basketball around everywhere he goes. And so he grabbed his basketball and went and played with these kids, only to find out the next day that very afternoon, one of the kids that he played with was shot and killed. And that was really the catalyst that started the movement towards him focusing his ministry in the Denver Housing Authority projects. The Lord has really put his hand of blessing upon the Denver Dream Center. He gets, the mayor of Denver calls them at least once or twice a week. He has a relationship with the chief of police in Denver. He has a relationship with the housing authority, and they let them do just about anything they want to do in the housing authority. And so he had the majority of their ministry, and the majority of our ministry last week was at the Westridge, Westwood, and Quigg housing. And most of our kids went to all three. And at least all of them, I think, at least got to go to two of those three. We handed out milk. We handed out meals. There's a chef in Denver who has what's called one-for-one ministry, where he sells a meal and he gives a meal. And so he makes these ready-to-heat family meals, put them in the oven for 30 minutes at 350 degrees. And we gave away Hope boxes, which had cleaning supplies and house cleaning supplies and hygiene and non-perishable food. We also handed out Dorito chips. How many of you guys like Doritos? Everybody on our team used to like Doritos. None of us like Doritos anymore. The Lord's, how many of you know that when you say that you're willing to do something, the Lord puts his hand of blessing upon you? If you'll be willing to do it, he'll send people to bless you. They get donations all the time. While we were there, the White House called, and starting this next week, we'll be delivering thousands of pounds of produce every 2 weeks to the Denver Dream Center. They called, because they were so willing to do it, that was on a Sunday or Monday when they called them. On Wednesday, they called back and said, you know what? We appreciate your willingness to do that. We also have thousands of pounds of meat and cheese we're also going to send you every 2 weeks. And they, Frito-Lay sent these chips, 66,000 bags of them. To give you an idea of how many that is, 72 bags in a box. That was 900 and something boxes of Dorito chips that we got to, we didn't get to hand all those out, but we handed a bunch out. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 through 40, here's what it says. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer, verse 37, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Like I said, we handed out milk one morning and we brought ready-to-cook meals one afternoon. We distributed Hope boxes full of cleaning supplies and hygiene items of food. And we gave away more Doritos than I've ever seen, as we've already talked about. But most of all, we learned that others have so much less than we do. They kept telling us, listen, we have given these Doritos out for a while. Nobody is going to take these Doritos. How many of you know that when you tell Pastor Phil that nobody's going to take something, I take that as a personal challenge? I'm like, oh yeah, I will take this box and we'll see in a minute. We had people taking whole boxes. I'd say, would you like some Doritos? I said, yeah. How many? I said, would you like the whole box? I can have the whole box? Absolutely you can have the whole box. Because ma'am, you don't know we have 900 more of them. We give out meals, and we were giving these meals out, and we were going door to door, and we were getting information. Because one of the things we would do is, how many of you know that the meal is just the tool? The hygiene items is just the tool. Sure, we're meeting a physical need. If you look in Scripture, as you're reading Scripture, if you look at Scripture, you will see that Jesus met the physical need so that he could get to the spiritual need. He fed the 5,000 because their stomachs were rumbling. But that wasn't the point of what he was trying to get at. He wanted to give them because it says that if you get the water from heaven, you'll never thirst again. He was trying to get them the spiritual food, but he was eliminating the physical need. And so as we would hand these out, one of us would hand out the meal, and one would have, we had extra produce that day, and we had some other things. And so there'd be like a team of three of us. So somebody's carrying the meals, and somebody's carrying the produce. And one person's got their phone, and all they're doing is going, "Hey, so what's your name?" And we get their address. "So how many people do you have that live here?" "Oh, okay. Well, do you have any other needs?" We had one lady, she said, "Yeah, I need a washing machine. My washing machine broke, and we don't have any clean clothes." And then we'd say, "Hey, is there anything we can pray with you about?" The whole idea was the food was just a way to connect with them. We realize that others have much less than we do. Many of them have no ability to buy or acquire basic things. But most have been forgotten, and almost all had lost hope. The saddest thing that we see in ministry, the saddest thing that you could ever see when you're ministering to someone, isn't a lack of physical resource. It's a lack of hope in their eyes. It's when you can see that if they could just be connected with Jesus, it would change everything. It may not give them a washing machine. It may not give them a food on their table, although I think all those things can come, but it would give them a new life. It's interesting because God is calling us to remember the forgotten. He calls them the least. We don't have to go to Denver, though, to serve the least. They're all around us. The neighbor who's all alone. This isn't just about physical resources. This can be about emotional resources. That neighbor who, we've got a neighbor in our neighborhood who just recently lost his wife. And I've made it a habit as I go by and I greet him, I talk to him a little bit. And I've made it a habit of just simply praying for him as I run by, that the Lord would give him supernatural comfort. Because he is one of the least right now. And I don't want him to be forgotten. Maybe it's an older person in your neighborhood who simply doesn't have anyone to talk to. Or maybe it is a single mom who has multiple kids who just needs something to eat. We met a lady in the Westwood projects that had it was a grandmother. She had 15 kids. One place. 15 grandkids, I should say. 15 of them. In a two-bedroom. Thankfully, the Denver Dream Center had connected with them so that she wasn't forgotten. But forgotten, the least of these could be a neighbor, like I said. It could be one who's lacking family. It could be a friend who just lost their job, who's lacking resources. But it most definitely, the least of these is a community and world who has lost hope and is lacking Jesus. If we could learn anything from serving, if we could learn anything, if you look at these Doritos today, I pray that you don't see a bag of chips. What I pray is that you see that we have a world who has a lacking of Jesus, and they have a need so desperately. They may not even know it today. Listen, I convinced people they needed Doritos even when they didn't believe they needed them. I said, "Oh, you need these." One poor little girl, she's like, "We have 3 bags." I said, "You need 4. You need 4 bags. Because you never know when a spontaneous slumber party could break out." So I'm telling you today, Jesus would have us to learn to remember the forgotten. They're all around us, but we've got to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto others. Lesson number three. Number one is that God's not a respecter of person. Number two is that we remember the forgotten. Number three is to be faithfully consistent. Be faithfully consistent. Man, this is tough. It's hard sometimes to stay consistent in what we say we're going to do and do it. I told you that the Denver Dream Center started Adopt-A-Block out of the tragedy of a child dying. And we watched the video and we saw the impact. But what I didn't tell you is this, is that since they started Adopt-A-Block, in the years since they started it, Jen, who is like the associate there, who was helping us and leading our team, she told me since we started it, they have canceled twice. She says, we do not cancel Adopt-A-Block because these people count on us being there. She said, matter of fact, she goes, I was so sad the last time we had to cancel it. She said, I was out of town. Pastor B was out of town. There was a major snowstorm, and our volunteers couldn't get out to get to the site. And she said, all of that, she goes, I still was going to make it happen. I was going to find new volunteers. I was going to organize it. She said, the only reason we didn't do it is because we got calls from our people who said, we're not going to be able to even get there. She goes, the snow wasn't going to stop us, Phil. She said the lack of volunteers wasn't going to stop us. The idea that I wasn't in town or that Pastor B wasn't in town, that wasn't going to stop us from Adopt-A-Block either. But the combination of all those and our people telling us they just couldn't make it there is the only reason we didn't do Adopt-A-Block. She said sometimes they get volunteers and it'll really be raining and they'll get calls and say, well, I guess we're not doing it. And she said, no. But we can get you an umbrella. We're going to do it. We can get you an umbrella if you need so. If you need an umbrella. She said sickness doesn't stop them. Lack of helpers and volunteers doesn't stop them. She said we want to be consistently where we say we're going to be. I can miss a meal. You can miss a meal. But these people, they're counting on this meal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I was caught by something that Jen also said. She told us, she says, here at the Denver Dream Center, we don't make excuses. We create solutions. I thought, man, that's good. She said, we don't make excuses, we create solutions. They have multiple programs that are going on. They have a program called Thrive where they are ministering to criminals or ex-cons who are coming out of prison. And they're coming out of the halfway house, and then they put them in a discipleship program to help them to succeed so they don't go back to prison. And they are doing programs, like I said, within the projects. They're doing programs within the homeless community. They're doing programs. They did a camp, and they have so much favor. They did a basketball camp called Hoops for Hope, and they did it with 100 of these kids that were out of these three housing projects, and the camp was run by their volunteers and the Denver Nugget players in the Denver Nugget Arena. And after they did the camp before the Nuggets game, they did it before, and then they got to stay and watch a Nuggets game as a guest of the Nuggets. And then after the Nuggets game, they took the kids home. Then they brought brought the guys from Thrive in, and the guys from Thrive played. Check this out. This is so cool. The guys from, because remember I told you they have a relationship with the police department. The guys from Thrive who had been in prison, who were rehabilitated their lives and had given their hearts to the Lord, played a 5-on-5 basketball game. They would sub in and out against the police. So the cops versus the Thrive discipleship students. They don't have freezer space at the Denver Dream Center. Remember I told you you're going to get all that produce? I told you you're going to get all that meat? They got the cheese? They have the freezer you have at home is the same size that they've got a refrigerator. It's got a little freezer. But the Pepsi Center, which is where the Nuggets and Avalanche play, let them use their freezers. There's multiple ministries around Denver. We went to a place called Glenn's. Was it Glenn's Kitchen? Glenn's Kitchen. It picked up 200 gallons of milk to hand out one day. And so I want to challenge you on my message here. Would you begin to pray for the Denver Dream Center, because they are right now in negotiations to get a Salvation Army complex, as a gym, has a church, has warehouse facility that would completely mobilize everything that they do, and they need the favor of the Lord to be able to get it. They gave the proposal the week we were there, and they're supposed to know within the next couple of weeks whether they're going to accept it. And so we want to pray that the Lord uses them in that way. But Jen says, we don't make excuses, we create solutions, and they live that out. We must be careful that we're working harder at asking God for solutions than we do asking our flesh for excuses. We serve a God who can move mountains. We serve a God who can make a way. We serve a God, the Bible says, that nothing is impossible for God. Amen? And yet, sometimes when God calls us, we find excuses for why it won't work. We are good at finding reason for why something won't work or why something shouldn't move forward. And yet, I love what the verse says, let nothing move us. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Let nothing move you. I challenge you, let nothing move us from the plan of God. Amen? Amen? In a world of uncertainty, we must present the one who is consistent. Hebrews 13, 8 says this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If there's any lesson we can learn, and I challenge you today, is this. Learn to be faithfully consistent. Be who you say you are. Be where you say you're going to be. Do what you say you're going to do. When you say you're willing, and you see the need, and you recognize the least, follow through. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. The people of Denver depend on the Dream Center to be faithfully consistent to do what they say they're going to do. I would tell you the world around us depends on us in the same way. We must be who we say we are. If we are people of faith, then we got to be people of faith. We got to be the ones who stand in the midst of all this chaos and say, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know the one who is guiding me and guarding me. I know the one in who I serve. I don't know what the numbers will look like tomorrow. I don't know what the regulations will look like tomorrow, but I know the one whose hand I am in. Amen? Don, if I could ask you to come, I don't even know. Thank you, Don. I want to conclude today with one last thought to challenge you with. The Denver Dream Center has many obstacles to overcome to reach the people of Denver. But one of their biggest is being taken advantage of. I was watching as we were handing food out, and there was other organizations handing food out. There were many who took the food and they said thank you. There were some who grabbed the food and closed the door. There were some who you could tell were very appreciative of what we were doing. There were others who had just become part of the systematic, what do you have for me today? Are you understanding me today? They struggle sometimes with the thought of being taken advantage of. Have you ever felt taken advantage of in the midst of doing what God's asked you to do? Have you ever been willing? Said, yes, Lord, I'm willing. Have you ever reached out to the least of those? Have you ever done something nice for someone because you felt the urging of the Lord? And even so, even though you knew what you were doing, what the Lord had asked you to do, have you ever felt that you felt being taken advantage of at the same time? It's human. It's human to feel taken advantage of. Some that they minister to on a daily and weekly basis, they expect a lot. Some of them, they've become used to the Denver Dream Center reaching out. And some of them, you'd minister to and you'd say, man, are you even making a way through? There were a few, I got to be honest with you, there was a few doors that opened up. And I thought to myself, Lord, only you could break through what's happening in that building. Only you can move in these people's lives. Day in, day out, ministering, it gets tough sometimes. But then I remember that Jesus called us to be a bridge to him, didn't he? Didn't he call us to be a bridge to him? He called us. He said, you're the one who can reconcile, help people be reconciled unto me. The Bible talks about the ministry of reconciliation, that we, knowing who Jesus is, would tell others who Jesus is, that they may be reconciled unto Jesus. That's what a bridge really is, right? Something that gets a person from one place to another across a divide they can't otherwise get across. We have a sin problem in our world that's dividing the people of this world from the one who wants to save them. And God's called us to be willing to find the least, to remember the forgotten, and to be the bridge. Sometimes they have volunteers that say to them, don't you get tired of being taken advantage of? Don't you get tired of people just taking food and taking stuff and never responding and never giving back and whatever? And I was just so taken by this statement that Pastor B tells his people all the time. And it's this: you can't be a bridge without being walked on. You can't be a bridge without being walked on. It's impossible for someone to go over a bridge without walking on it. And so I challenge you today, are you willing, not just willing to say yes to what God's calling you to do, but are you willing to look for the least, to remember those that are forgotten, to really focus in on what God has called us to do, to be faithfully consistent, even if it means that sometimes you're going to get walked on? I don't know about you, but I'm willing to be walked on for Jesus. I'm willing, if that's what it takes for someone to know Jesus, then give me another box of Doritos. Give me another box. I'm willing to carry. These were easy to carry, these Doritos. They were real light, and so as we were walking around, kids didn't catch on to this, but I always volunteered to carry the Doritos. I was like, oh, I got the Doritos, you know, and because we had boxes with canned goods and other things. We're walking around the Westridge Housing Authority, and we're carrying this stuff, and we're giving it out, and we're talking to kids, and we're praying with people, and we're asking needs. And I was thinking about Pastor B and talking about, if you want to be a bridge, you're going to have to be willing to be walked on. Sweat pouring down my brow. Walking up. Westridge has some serious hills, by the way. Walking up and down the hills. Just ask Fran Whitmire. She'll tell you. She's like, Pastor Phil, that's some hills. I'm walking up and down those, and I'm thinking to myself, God, let me be taken advantage of if it means that somebody will come to know you. If you can use Doritos, if you can use a meal, if you can just use a listening ear, Lord, you can use a prayer, you can use a smile, whatever it may be, God, I'm willing. And so I ask you this morning, are you willing and ready for whatever God asks? Are you watching so that no one is forgotten? And are you ready to be faithfully consistent? Will you be the bridge to Jesus, even though you know that that means that you're going to be walked on? Who's willing to be walked on for Jesus? Come on. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, I thank you for every friend in this place. I thank you, Lord, that this church family is full of people who love the world around them. Lord, I thank you that this place is full of people who are willing to do what you've called them to do. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they're continuing to learn as I am to keep our eyes open for the needs around us, for the least of these. Because when we do it under the least of these, we do it under you. Lord, I thank you that you're helping us every day to be more consistent in who we say we are and what we say we'll do. Lord, may we be walked on. May we be taken advantage of. If it means that somebody would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. So with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask today, is there anybody in this sanctuary who maybe you need a relationship with Jesus today? Maybe you've had one before and you've drifted away, or maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus, but today is the day of salvation. And if you need to give your heart to the Lord, I don't want to go any further in this message without giving you that opportunity. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, I need to give my heart to the Lord today. I want to be right with Him. Amen. Amen. Secondly, if you'd say, you know what? I want to be willing. I want to be open to see those that are least. And I want to be faithfully consistent. I want to be that bridge that leads people to Jesus. If that's you this morning, would you stand? Would you stand this morning? If you would be, if you say, I want to be that bridge, would you just stand today? As we see people standing all over the sanctuary today, amen, amen. I want to be that bridge to lead people to Jesus, whether it takes Doritos, whether it takes the Word, whether it takes a prayer, whether it takes whatever it may be. I'm willing, God. Lord, you see those that are standing around this sanctuary this morning, and they're saying, I'm willing, God. I will not forget the lost. I will not forget the least. I will be consistent, and I will be a bridge. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord this morning as we end this service? Just as an act of submission, say, Lord, I give all I have to you. And Lord, I pray for every person in this place. I thank you, Lord, that as we lift our hands to you, we faithfully submit ourselves to you. May we be willing to be used. May we be willing to be a bridge. And may we be willing, Lord, to learn every single day. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. 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 Can I just encourage you to be a lifelong learner? Learn something today. The Lord wants to continue to teach us. You're never too old to learn. You've never learned everything. God's mysteries are new every morning, and He will reveal them to you if you'll just be willing to listen and learn. I love you. Please take a bag of Doritos. Bye-bye.